who've been to our yeshiva and the boys have gone back to yeshiva over there, as Rosh Yeshiva says every year. So there's a nice connection between these two yeshivas. I just personally want to say, Lapiansky is known as a Rosh Yeshiva, not only knowledge of Shas and Poitzkin, but also known as a writer and a speaker of Jewish thought. I just recently was reading a Words of Hesped of his, and his brother-in-law, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, and as I've read other Hespedim, other words of his, it's very moving, and it's very, it hits the point. So Baruch Hashem, we have this chus again to hear Rav Lapiansky.
As was mentioned, we do have we've had over the years boys that have come here. I think this year might be the first year in a long time that we didn't have one of our Silver Spring High School boys here. But Baruch Hashem, every group that came here, every one that came here, really gained a lot. They gained a lot from being here. They gained a lot from the personal kesher that keeps going. And I can tell you, fortunate to be in yeshiva that so much is invested in each person individually and make use of it and develop the same ksharim with your rebbeim. It's really something, it's unique today when you're used to having thousands of people in one yeshiva and called the yeshiva, that you can have a place where you can build very, very personal ksharim with rebbeim. I'm sorry, I'm late, it's incredible. I don't want to take away from saying all that much time, so we'll try to just stick to the point. You have here in the parasha an introduction to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans to do with Klal Yisrael. In other words, after Moshe Rabbeinu complained, why is it taking so long, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, this is what I plan to do. He tells him he's going to take out the Jews, but he conveys it in different stages. He says, "V'hotzei sesher mitachat tzivos Mitzrayim," I'm going to take you out of the suffering of Mitzrayim. The Jews were oppressed. They were having a horrible, horrible killing and so on. That's going to end. Hitzalti eschem avodasam. I am going to save you from having to work to slave for the Egyptians. Third, v'ga'alti eschem b'zoran tushratim dolim. I will redeem you with zoran etuyim, means with an open display of strength. And Shvatim Gdola means I will punish the Egyptians, the gods. Fourth, V'lokachti aschem li la'am, I will take you as a nation for me. Fifth of all, Ve'veis aschem la'arach esyadi la'aseisla, and so on. I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Five different stages that are outlined of what's going to happen. Chazal focused on these five, and the Dalit Kosos that we have plus Koshal Yo is connected these Lashonos. Chazal made Dalit Kosos to fit these four Lashonos. These are four stages of Geula. If we take a look, the reason why the last one, the Koshal Yo, is kind of not a Chiyuv, is because the last one, the Vases from the Arts, bringing Klausel to Yisrael, hasn't taken hold 100%. We came, we left, we came, we left, and we're still not here yet. I want to focus in on one of those descriptions, because it's unique, it's very different. If you take a look at all the descriptions, we have, I will take you out from suffering. Two, I will save you from work. I will redeem you. Doesn't say from what. Doesn't say what we're going to be redeemed from. I will take you to me. I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Each one of these verbs has an object. In other words, from to, which makes a lot of sense. The one that's different is ga'alti. Doesn't redeem from to nothing. One difference. Second difference is that there's no description of how magnificent or wonderful each one of these activities will be. I will take you from the suffering, I will save you from the slavery, I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael. The only one that has a fireworks to come with it, a flare, is V'go'alti Aschem, I will redeem you, B'zroa Netuya, with outstretched hand, U'b'shvatim Gdolim. Interesting. It's kind of a, it's sort of unique. We have five terms. The middle one is different in two very substantial ways than the other terms. And it really needs to be understood, especially since the word Geula is like the general term that covers all the other ones. If we ask ourselves what happened, right, Geula is the word, and yet we find a substantial change between that and the others. So I want to start, let's go back a little bit and understand where we're coming from. What happened, why five stages? So if we go back to the Bris Bein HaBsarim in Parshas Lech Lecha with Avraham Avinu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, for whatever reasons, we don't know why we had to go through all of this and why we have to suffer so much, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, he said, I am forging a covenant with you, and he says like this, Yadoh Ateida, Ki Ger Yezah Olahem, your children will be in a country that's not theirs. Strangers in a country that's not theirs. One. Two, Vavadim, they're going to work for them. Three, the Inu Oisem Abba Meyashana, and they will be afflicted, they will be hurt and pained. The Inu Oisem Abba Meyashana. So, three stages. First, they're going to be in a country that's not theirs. Two, they are going to be working for the Egyptians as slaves. And third, it will be a very, very oppressive type of slavery. It makes sense that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling back, he pulls back from the last one first. So the first one that he pulls back from is Votzeis Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. And there was the suffering of Mitzrayim, the first thing I'll take you away from there. Remove the harshest of the three elements. V'itzalti Eschem Me'avodasam, and I will save you from having to slave for them, is the second one. And then V'ga'alti Eschem would be Keneged, the middle one, the first one, which is being Ger Yezach HaBeretz Olahem. Not clear what the symmetry is. And then the next two stages are plus. V'lakachti, I'll take you. V'veisi, I will finalize it in Eretz Yisrael. So it's like taking them out of the basement, step at a time, building to a certain, up to a certain climax, which is Bez Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, forever. And some middle point, Geula versus Ger Yozach HaBeretz Olahem. So let's try to understand what exactly that entails. What's the problem, and so on. Let's ask ourselves, was Klal Yisrael independent when they were in Eretz Yisrael, were they a nation before they went to Egypt? The answer is no. I don't know if there was another nation, a Canaanite nation. I'm not sure that there was, certainly not like Mitzrayim, but they were, they existed as a family at best. They were, you know, Yud Beis Shvatim with children. They didn't have any nationhood. It's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that's a stroll for the future, but right now there's nothing doing there. So what is Ger Yezach HaBeretz Olahem? They will be living in Mitzrayim, but what difference does it make if they're living in Mitzrayim or in Canaan and they're not the boss? So the answer is like this. A person, besides seeing himself as an individual, also sees himself as part of something else. We define ourselves, what we are, we define ourselves as being of a certain family. That's part of our definition. It's part of who we are. If we're a father, we're a father. If we're a son, we're a son. We're part of family. We're part of a people. We're part of a nation. We're of something. And that defines who we are. When the Jews were in Canaan, Canaan did not seem to be a nation in the sense that it was a very fixed type of country, a state of sorts, and everybody there was a Canaanite. It was an Eretz Canaan, and you must have had a lot of tribes roaming or whatever it is. Mitzrayim was a state. It was a very, very well-developed state. It was a very, very powerful state. And it was something that absorbed its people and gave them a sense of being Egyptian, of being Mitzrayim. That was the sense you had when you were Mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael becomes part of something else, not when Klal Yisrael, they weren't a Klal Yisrael yet, but when they became part of something else, in a certain way, they're Mitzrayim. Because they live in Mitzrayim, they belong to Mitzrayim, they act within the context of Mitzrayim, and that's them. And each step of the Golos is a stronger absorption of them. So the first stage is their personal identity is subsumed to Mitzrayim. The second stage is what they produce when you become a slave, before the hardships, forget about the difficult conditions, but everything you produce is governed by somebody else. Somebody else decides what you'll do, and somebody else absorbs what you produce. Ve'inoasam means your body is going to belong to the Mitzrayim. So not only the big circle around you, the big circle is tightened, and there's almost nothing left of yourself to define yourself as a Jew, as Yosef, as Benjamin, as whoever you are. That was the Golos. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gozer? The guess would be from the Psukim that it was a testing ground to see how much of you can be crushed, and a point still remains that can't be crushed no matter what. It was a testing ground to see how firm is what we are, and so on and so forth. Once that has been put into place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us through this to test, even after being totally possessed by someone else, are we still ourselves or not? Let's take this at a practical level, and let's talk about it in a way that is actually meaningful for us. You know, when people would speak about Golos 100 years ago, or even less, it was pretty easy to understand what they meant. People lived in communist Russia and communist Soviet Union or Eastern Europe had tremendous oppression, no ability to be Jewish or to act Jewish. People who went through the Nazi Gehenna. People lived in Eastern Europe for hundreds of years really, really felt crushed. And the question was, would the pressure crush them or not? People slipped off. There were people over the generations who converted. They converted out of the pressure because life was very difficult. And, you know, you said to yourself, well, it's not a life and I'm going to become a Christian and so on. So that was a crushing effect. And it did not succeed all that much. It might have succeeded in decimating us, in keeping our numbers down, but pretty much it stayed. And we never were Polaks, and we never were Litvaks, well, the Yiddish Litvaks, but not Lithuanians, and so on. We never were Russians, we were Jews, and that was that. But today, we have a Golos that is of a very different kind. We live in a pleasant place, in a good place, with good people, who we feel a tremendous need and a tremendous desire to be absorbed in society. It's normal. You don't want to be different. You don't want to be strange. You want to be absorbed by society. So this is the focal point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the word Geula, most important, is not significant in terms of outside oppression. It's in terms of determining self-identity. I have proof of that. There's a parasha much later in Vayikra, at the end of Vayikra, that the parasha speaks about people's Nachla and Achuza. Everybody in Klal Yisrael has a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael that's theirs forever. Now, you can rent it, you can lease it, but only for 50 years, only for Yovel, up to Yovel. And the reason is because belonging to Eretz Yisrael and having a piece of Eretz Yisrael belong to you is part of your identity. If the Vayvesi is the final stage of becoming Klal Yisrael, then the piece that belongs to each one of us is something that's very, very much the heart of it. And at the end of Yovel, no matter what the contract says, it goes back. How does the Torah call that? The Torah calls that Geula, Geula Yia, Geula Tia. The process of redeeming land. When I buy land, I'm not liberating the land. I'm buying land, even if I buy it back and forth. But when it's the land that is part of myself, that's called Geula. When a Jew, Rachman Otzan, is sold to a guy as an Evet, the Pasuk, same parasha over there, calls that process Geula, because that's very, very much akin to the thing that, to what we're talking about. By Boaz, if you remember, the when Boaz spoke with the Redeemer, who was supposed to redeem the land that belonged to Naomi's children and husband, he was called the Goel, because the family of the extended family of Amnon, Kilion, and so on, they Elimelech, that family had been cut off from Klal Yisrael. They had seen themselves as the Moabites, and bringing them back to the peace, to the point, both in terms of the land and in terms of the personal, remarrying into Klal Yisrael was the process of redemption. So the word Geula is something that refers most specifically to that. So let's explain the points we raised. Everything else is measured by where I'm coming from. If somebody is being oppressed by somebody else, then the vahotzesi is to take you away from that oppression. When someone else has latched onto my production and made me an evet, then the definition of the vitzalti is from whom? The process from whom am I doing it? But when we're talking about geula, it's got nothing to do with where you're coming from. It's got to do about yourself. It's got to do about becoming redeemed. Becoming goel means becoming yourself. It's not because someone else had latched onto you. It's because you yourself had lost your sense of identity in yourself. On the other hand, it had to be done with zroa and netuya shvatim gedolim, because whenever we're trying to separate something, a person has two groups that are mixed together. And let's take an example. Let's say in biology, when you have cells that are mixed together, and all cells look fairly alike. So you take a stain and you stain it, and certain cells pick up the stain very well, certain cells don't at all, certain cells display it differently, and you pick up the contrast in a way that you can clearly mark what's this, what's that. Bezroa netuya shvatim gedolim means, like by the Makos, it says that Klal Yisrael had brilliant light, the Goyim had darkness. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to define Klal Yisrael, and you define it. Zroa netuya means a tremendous reaching out to you versus a tremendous pushing back at the other. So the other process, I didn't need to do it. All I needed to do to the Mitzrayim to stop their avdus was whatever pressure it took. I didn't have to do anything to Klal Yisrael. I needed to do something to the Egyptians, and that's it, to get them off our backs in terms of oppression, in terms of slavery. But when it came to the issue of Geula, I needed to clearly identify and say you are loved and they're despised. So Geula is radically different than the other ones, because the other ones are more about pushing away it just whatever the problem is. Here, it's a sort of a self-definition. We say every Matzah Shabbos, Havdalah. In the Havdalah, we say a difference between Or and Choshech, and Kodesh and Chol, and Yisrael and Amin. To be Mavdal, you need to point where A is has a certain Mila, B has Chisern. I need to show both sides of the coin. I'd like to sort of... I think this is probably the most... It's very significant for us. If we ask ourselves, these are formative years. These are the years that we develop the Yiddishkeit that's going to last us for a lifetime. And there are a lot of things we gain. We gain an inspiration to do mitzvahs. We gain an education to understand what to do, how to do it. But if we could ask ourselves, what is the most significant thing one needs to walk away with? So Rav Futner Zvayner used to say, someone asked him, what's the most important thing to talk about today? And he, Rav Futner, had a very different perspective, a very broad perspective, and saw things differently. He said the most important thing to stress today is Gaon Yaakov, which means the pride of Yaakov. What the biggest challenge you face when you go out into the world around is that you don't want to feel weird. A normal, healthy, sane human being doesn't want to be weird. I remember I worked for Wal Nesha Torah with Kabbalah Tshuva. The people that came off the street and were eager to adapt to Torah mitzvahs, you questioned their stability. Because it's strange for somebody, every normal person has a gyroscope that sort of keeps him aligned with society. So you can change societies, you can slowly use your mind and say, yes, everybody does this, but this is the right thing to do. But people should resist it. It's normal. It's healthy to resist changes in society. But that creates a tremendous tension. As I said, if we ask ourselves, what about non-kosher is the biggest yetzer hara today? So people who grew up with kind of an iffy sense of kashrus, okay, so if you're used to it, it's more expensive, you're used to a certain taste, fine. But for many frum people, the nisayon starts when your firm is taken out for lunch, and everybody is chomping away, and you're sipping a Diet Coke. Now, it's not only the problem that you're hungry and everybody else is eating good food and you're sipping a Diet Coke. The real problem is, you're also weird. You know, it's like this guy who can't participate, and everything's an issue. The party has, it's a Christmas party, so maybe yes, maybe not. This, that, everything that makes you feel that you stand out. Now, it's a very tough nisoyon. And let me explain what the dynamics are psychologically of holding on to it. When a person comes to a country, and the normal tendency is to assimilate. That's normal. That's what a person wants to do, and that's what people are geared to do. So you learn the language, you pick up the mannerisms, the mores, and you slowly, sometimes people have it difficult, but it's normal. And the reason is because you feel unusual, you feel kind of strange if you don't adapt. Imagine somebody is working as an ambassador of a foreign country. He represents America in Uganda. So he doesn't have that need, because his society exists someplace else. His society exists in America. He happens to be in a strange land, but his sense of identity and his sense of self is a different self, a different identity. And that makes all the difference. If there's something that a person needs to build into himself is a sense of belonging to Torah, to Olam HaTorah, to Klal Yisrael, and make that the sense of definition of a person. A person, if he feels that he's out of place, and he doesn't feel that he's in place anywhere else, is going to have a very difficult time to resist that Messiah. But if we have that sense of belonging to Klal Yisrael and the pride of belonging to Klal Yisrael, then it's much easier. Then just the question being pragmatic. Do I lose the deal or not? But the question is no longer about self-identity. And it's something I lived for a very long time as Israel, about 25 years, then when I moved back to Silver Spring, it struck me, it jarred, I mean, there's how much people need to identify with the culture of America. I don't have a problem identifying as a citizen of a country, you have certain obligations, you have certain dues to that country, that's fine. But the sense of automatically being swept up with the norms of the country, because that's the country, that I once heard Reb Sholem Shvadron, he was a big magnet of Shalayim, also a lot of folk wisdom, and he was very witty, he was a fascinating, fascinating personality. And he once told, I once came to visit him in America, sort of personally, with a group of Bachrim, and he shmoozed. And he said he was giving a drasha for soldiers, for a group of officers. And he, I guess whatever the point he made, they were in some agreement about the value of acting religious and observing, but they said, you know, you have to be, I don't remember the word was realistic, mitziuti, or he said there's a big world out there, and you have to be part of the world. And Reb Sholem answered with the following sort of mashal. He said, imagine you land in Holland, and I guess that was, I don't know if he had ever been to Holland, the airport certainly doesn't look different, but he said you land in a place with a lot of cows. You walk off the airplane and you see around you hundreds and thousands of cows munching grass. Do you get down on all four munch grass also or not? He said, yes, we are like a blip in a big world, but is that our world or not? The Torah builds us a different world. And that's the central point over here of Geula. The oppressions are just pressure that adds to it. It's like when you're pulling something and you also push it. But the real crux, the real turning point is described as Geula. Geula is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentally, emotionally takes us. When we lived in Mitzrayim, the sense that we're part of them was suddenly the biggest of all nisyonos. The Maral says that it says if we would have gone into Memtesh Shari Tumah, there never would have been a Geula. So yes, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised it. So he said Geula doesn't mean to take a homogenous entity, cut it in two, make one a free people and one not. Geula means to remove A from B. And if the division between A and B had become so distorted that there was no difference, then Geula is impossible. Not a Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't want to do it, but it's an impossibility. A Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we build ourselves in a way that we understand ourselves to be part of Olam HaTorah, Klal Yisrael, that we have a world of our own that is us. And no matter where Hashgacha takes us over a lifetime, and no matter what in what environments we're functioning, we always remain geulim, always remain free people. We're not subsumed emotionally and mentally to the particular environment that we happen to be there. We live with that recognition, and if we're able to reinforce in ourselves our own geula, Be'ezus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the big geula, the big picture for all of Klal Yisrael. That's all.
Yeah, I know, but that's one of the things. What do you live with? I see a father there.